PERT, Program Evaluation and Review Technique. Very, very successful technique. Here, I use the approaches called pessimistic, optimistic, and the most likely approach. Okay. We will not probably go into the great very detailed, but this is what is the technique where it actually provides you the graphical representation similar to the network diagram, but little bit more in detail, where I'm using some of the statistical formulas to arrive at some of the the figure. Okay, what could be the timeline if I go most optimistic way? What could be the timeline of the project of the completion if I go most pessimistic way? And I kind of agree onto the pessimistic or the mean time approach. That would be my most likely approach to complete this particular project. This is generally used for a very complicated project assignments, typically because it's a complicated, there will be also necessarily be large project, and a very proven, tried and tested technique works very effectively. Some of the advantages, that because I'm exploring, I'm keeping the pessimistic, optimistic timelines in mind, it actually calculates the estimated completion date by adding up some of the cumulative task duration, because I'm also adding the pessimistic approach. It also determines the probability of the project being completed by the date. So you have heard about the probability, right? That in case there is a the box where I have 100 red balls and I have say 50 yellow balls, what are the probabilities that if I put my hands into the box, what are the probabilities of capturing the red ball first, right? So it also kind of gives you the probability, and it provides the flexibility to the project manager to crash some of the project schedule. Now, this is very important, guys, because if there are some of the activity which are non-relevant, can I eliminate those processes? Can I actually regularize it later on, right? So that typically gives me a flexibility. If there are some activities with a large range between optimistic and pessimistic, I have a legroom to actually crash some of those activities. PERT will help in fast tracking of the project. So typically, if you just envisage, or if you just assume that you have the complete task to get delivered, and you can actually crash the activity. When I say crash the activity, you have some critical path. You have identified some of the critical activities. You have also identified some of the activities which you want to eliminate with. You can pick up those resources, allocate those resources here on the critical path to meet your timelines, right? This is the beauty of the PERT technique. Many of the tools can give you such ready-made calculation of the tool. There are some formulas to capture the exact time which you can arrive at whenever you are using this particular technique. Resource leveling. Now, resource leveling is another technique where you sometimes come across the conflicts in an organization, specifically over the resources. Either the pool of resources are not consumed as the way they should be, or there is a pool of resources which are getting overwhelmed or overburdened, I would say. Okay. This technique would actually help the organization to level both the pool of the resources, and it's sometimes very effective when you have the multiple teams working on multiple assignments. Leveling of the resources would actually help in assigning some of the project, as I mentioned, when you are running in parallel. Maybe one project which is running a parallel tracks, or maybe multiple projects running the same kind of resources for supporting that particular project. Okay, here what happens is they allocate the resources first, and then they kind of decide the path of the activities, and they have a leg room to float around those particular resources. Where else it can help? So Your resource leveling can also help in reducing the wastage of resources. Sometimes, you remember, you have the VM environment where you have multiple servers onto the same very hardware. And you have a logic created saying that, hey, I think if the utilization goes up to 80% or beyond, you can offload some of the resources onto a different VM which is hardly utilized, right? Leveling of the resources, right? Because the end objective is my end user performance should not be impacted, right? And when I say end user performance is not impacted, from a project standpoint, if I have to correlate, I would say that yes, I'll be meeting the timelines of the project as it was committed. Schedule acceleration. Again, it is somewhat in line with the other technique which we discussed before. Here, the project manager is given the power, the authority to right size the people, move around the people from one project to a different project. If you look at the fourth bullet point, it says the different schedule acceleration technique will have their own advantages and also the risk. Maybe you are pulling some resources from one place, but you may be affecting something which will be affected to someone else. Here, the choosing of the resources would actually be also dependent on the skill set of an employee or the workforce which you are actually picking up. Some ways to schedule the acceleration is you have a buffer management. Simple logic of a buffer of say buffer management is you are removing all the extra time which was allocated for a project, which means that if there is a resource which is booked for 5 days, and out of those 5 days, imagine that the earlier project manager or you for instance had envisaged 1 day as a buffer, you will remove or you will eliminate that buffer. Now be mindful that it might add a little bit of stress onto the resource, because resource is just hopping around one activity to another activity and just not getting a time to just relax, right? So that could be a kind of an area to watch out there. But here the project manager would have to maintain the project level schedule to compensate the other days which are actually captured. And what happens if those buffers are really required? Crashing. So this is another way you can actually help into the scheduling of an acceleration, which we also briefly spoke about in the previous one, is if you really want to crash any activity or even to eliminate those activity, you actually add the resources from some other task. So basically you add the resources. Now, if you do not have the liberty to remove the resources from other tasks, maybe you are picking up the resources from any other project or any other pool of resources to ensure that this particular activity has been addressed. Now, because you are adding the resources, guys, please be mindful that every resource do come with a cost. And if they do come with a cost, and if you are adding the resources there, you are also increasing the budget of your project. Not really suitable for all the activities, because everywhere you cannot keep on adding the resources. Remember that you always have some limitation of the resources across the board. Fast tracking. Here, the activities would start before the predecessor's activities are completed. So basically, you don't wait for the previous activity to get over. Again, there are high risk, high gain, where you are actually running the parallel activities at the same time. Imagine that you are planning the picnic or probably a camp for your child, or maybe the child and his or her friends. Now you want to plan this particular camp, and you have contacted the camp saying that, hey, we are planning for about 7 to 10 children for say probably 3 to 4 days. So what are your charges? What are your commercials? How do you plan it? Blah, blah, blah. What are the activities? So you've planned that particular track. At the same very time, that activity is not yet finished. You have not finalized, you have not conformed the participation of your children. But at the same time, on the parallel track, you are also trying to arrange the pick and drop facilities. Maybe you are talking to some of the travel agencies to ensure that, like, you know, they pick up the children and they drop at the venue there, and vice versa. That is also not finalized. You're also talking to the several other parents that to confirm whether they are comfortable in sending that say their child for say 3 to 4 day excursion, right? So multiple things are happening at the same time, and you are not really waiting for one activity to get over. You're not just waiting for sending a confirmation to the camp guys. You're not waiting for the say that the tempo traveler to be booked. Why? Because you don't even have the total number of the people, right? So fast tracking is generally a help there. But imagine the scenario that if everything falls into the right place at the right amount of time, you at least have done your homework, and just with a blink of the call, you'll be able to finalize everything. It really fast tracks. Okay. Some of the other ways to schedule your acceleration is split to phases. You are actually splitting some of the activities and having it separated so that the things can work in tandem. It allows the resources to focus on an activity supporting one objective while keeping the other's objectivity on hold. So again, on the prioritization piece, that you are actually instructing the resource, saying that, okay, if it is non-critical, you can park it for a moment and then you can focus your attention here. So basically you're splitting into the phases. It can also lead to increase of the cost due to the delays in some portion of the project. Why? Because remember that you are splitting it, but you have compromised on something. At the end of the day, you will have to complete that activity as well, which is compromised. The project is not done until it is done. You cannot partially deliver the project to your customer. Finally, main line offline scheduling. So it kind of separates out the activities. So pretty much somewhat overlapping to the previous model onto the splitting one, where you are separating activities into the two very components, where the first component can be done irrespective of any predecessor's activity. So basically you don't really bother about any previous activity which is getting over or not. However, there is another activity which you have actually separated out, which has to wait for the other activity to get over. Okay. Again, depending on the project which you are dealing with, you have the mix and match of the various methodology, not a one size fits for all approach, right? So if there are some tasks which can be done in agile way, you can actually go ahead and do that. There are some tasks which cannot be done in an agile way, you can probably split and navigate your resources accordingly. Project reviews. So once you have the schedule and everything which has been outlined, now it's time to see the alignment of the resources, see the alignment of the right size of resources, see the alignment where you can drop some of the resources, right? So there comes your review part. But the complex and the larger projects will have a little bit more stricter approach, and it's not necessarily important that it's only complex and larger project, okay? There may be a smaller project, but it is adding a lot of value to the business. Maybe that can also be a part of this particular picture, right? A comprehensive project review would actually serve as an effective tool, as if we are already aware about it. Like, you know, and if you are reviewing it right, you have things under your own control. Now this can, once you have finalized it, you can probably invite any of the auditors and can have an independent opinion that what do you think from their standpoint, okay? Remember, many of the auditors are being invited because the organization needs the third party lookout, okay? Especially when it's a very complicated project, then it makes a lot of sense to have that third party review. Now, when once you have done all these necessary checks and the project's initial schedule has been reviewed and the changes have been made, maybe it will be a good idea to have it reviewed internally within the team member. To give you an example, you want to add the remote security practices into your organization. Or remember that you have to enable the USB blocking into your organization. Okay, pretty much a security project. However, you might want to discuss it along with all the IT fraternity, along all the senior leadership, because it might have a potential impact. Somebody is using the USB for sharing the data with the local government agency, because local government agency may not be using email as a mechanism or a preferred mechanism to exchange the data. Some of the user might be pulling out the large amount of the backup on a daily basis, because the backup is very critical, right? So it will always be a good idea to run through the entire project plan and project activities with your fellow colleagues, so that you get your the input from there as well, and you can navigate it accordingly. There are online project tracking tools, okay? So when specifically you are dealing with the global teams, you cannot rely on an email exchanges always. Maybe your nighttime is a daytime for others. You have sent out an email in the morning of yours. You did some modifications over a period of day, and you are thinking of sending an email on the next very day, which is again a nighttime for your global audience. Now, for them, at the end of today, they are reviewing the older project for which you have already made a changes, but you have not sent it, and you will be sending it tomorrow morning. So tomorrow, and maybe there are some of the activities which they are responsible for it, and they've started doing it already, right? So that's not really giving the better picture. It's always a good idea to use some of the online tools. Now, online tools, again, guys, there is a misnomer that you have to have a tool. You can very well use the SharePoint as a media. You can use a Google Drive as a medium where you are updating everything on that drive, which is available 24/7 for anybody to consume. And that plan is up to date all the time. You may would like to have the specific the project management software or a tool, which can also be of help in case you want to update automatically. In case you want to change the time or you want to send an alerts, that may also be a good idea to use that online platform. Remember, we are living into the global world, and if it is a global world, you have to have the information up to date, current. Your online software can provide a multi-project scheduling also, task management also, because it's an online. Other resource consumption can also be reviewed by my other fellow project managers. My other project managers would know that my resources, which are occupied into this particular project, how much bandwidth they have to support their project. Right? Your stakeholders and your management can actually have the real-time view or a realistic view. They can see that, hey, this is what is the resource which is actually overburdened, and hey, look at this particular resource. Can we upskill him or her, and can we also ask them to do this particular job also, right? So pretty much the transparent view which you get it, and the online real-time tools will also show how their delay, how their vacation is going to impact the overall project per se. So if somebody has planned for a Europe vacation and if he is not going to be there for say 15 days, he will have a clear visibility onto the online platform that, hey, if I don't assign this particular activity to someone else into my team, probably there'll be delay by 15 days, right? Some of the other advantages of the online project management tool, since it's an online, since it's transparent, since it's available, you have a better collaboration. You can extend that tool to the external business folks, maybe internal or maybe external stakeholders or team members, and so on and so forth. SharePoint is widely used tools. You can use Jira as a tool. Since it's on a cloud platform, since it's on the internet, it's available across all the time zone. So it's like your banking services, right? If I have an account in citibank.com, if somebody else operating out from Australia has an account with citibank.com, for both of us, if you want to access citibank.com, it's a different time zone we are into. I mean, we both are into, okay? So for citibank.com is actually available all the time. Similar to that, the project management tool, if somebody is also traveling, they can look at it on the go if they have an internet, right? So accessibility is also is very, very important, and efficiency. The tool I was talking about, which is available on the Teams, right, on the MS Teams, where you can actually tag the users, make them owner, ask them to complete the activity before the time which has been allocated. Why it is effective? Because maybe you have completed the project, it gets synced automatically onto your project management tool, and it's marked as a complete onto your tool as well. And if it is marked as a complete in the tool as well, probably the other person in the next in chain, they will get an alert saying, hey, this task has been completed. Now your job is it's now starting. Why don't you go ahead and complete your task as well? Pretty much effective, pretty much important, and it is a need of an hour. Okay. Transparency, we have already spoken about it. Customization, it's all is nothing but, like, you know, every tool will have their own customization. If you are going to buy a Rolls-Royce today, you can actually customize your seat, your look and feel and everything. Obviously, that customization is not really possible into the normal segment of cars. But when you are going to buy very high-end cars, okay, you do have that option to customize your car. Similar to this, if there's a project management tool, if you're talking about, you can actually restrict the access. You can actually see, you can actually create your own dashboard, which you can see, which you want to see it. You don't want to see out of the box, dashboard, which is showing up as a part of the inherent facility of the tool. You want to build your own. You are probably interested into looking at a very specific activity. You want to alert yourself not every week, probably every day. You can configure those alerts. Highly customizable tool. You can have your own branding. You can have your own logo setup. You can have your own team member extending some of the stubs. You can have some of the access control saying you can refrain anybody from deleting any of the information and all kind of stuff. Very, very important. Reporting, again a very important element of the online tools, right? Maybe your CXOs are interested in looking at the report in a very specific fashion. And maybe some of the project managers are required to also have a detailing of their particular project. That can be achieved through the online reporting. And you schedule the report once, and every Monday or every Tuesday, the report will be sent automatically by email. Imagine how much easy a life can be. Right, you can also integrate such tools with the multiple other project management tools if you want, or you can also integrate with any other ticketing tool. For example, if one of the project demands that the firewall ports are required to be open, for instance, or maybe the servers are required to be spinned off, my user raised a ticket to spin on one server onto the Azure, onto AWS. Okay, my support team has accepted this particular ticket, worked on the ticket, spinned off the particular server, and closed the ticket. Now the ticketing tool is so very integrated as with my project management tool that the moment my ticket is closed, it will be marked as a task complete into my project management plan as well. Right? Such an easy life of an individual. Right, so there are some of the tools which are captured here. Obviously, these all are current one. Jira is most widely used. There are some companies, they also help the organization to customize or tailor make their own tool depending on their need. Okay, always one size do not fit for all, because you are playing around with the smallest project to the largest project, critical project to the ongoing operational project, and so on and so forth. Right? In a nutshell, project is smaller or larger, it is better if it is managed in an automated way. And to do it in an automated way, to do it in an organized way, you need to have some specific IT related tools. Now, these IT related tools can be called as a project management tool. And again, those project management tool could be online, could be on-prem, could be on cloud, could be anywhere. Be mindful that your spreadsheet is also one of the tool which you are using, right? You have many projects, and you have also the many project challenges. You may also have some of the timelines to meet. You also have some of the tasks which you want to alert your team members to do it. you also have some of the dependencies on multiple people. Your project management tool really helps in reducing some of your efforts. With this, I'm sure this chapter was really insightful for you to understand the necessity of the project management tool or online tool for that matter. I thank you all for watching me.